I know you've already been asked, but I haven't gotten to ask you, so I'm going to ask. First full day of camp, like a scale of thumbs up to thumbs down, where are you at? Where are we at? Good, good, good. Okay. I want you to turn to somebody around you and tell them the best part of your day. Go ahead. Tell somebody next to you. Bring it in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All right. I'm going to count to 3. And when I say 3, I want you to yell at me what your favorite part of the day was, okay? I want to hear all of them, okay? Ready? 1, 2. 3. Great! Okay. Good. We're good. Wow. Wow. Okay. Wow. I think. Whoa! Huh. Woo! Wait! I think from all of that, what I heard was 9 square and breakfast, which sounds pretty good to me. So, I mean, can't go wrong with starting the day with bacon. Who remembers what we learned this morning? Pop quiz. Pop quiz. Right here. Oh, that was our memory verse. That was part of this morning. What else? What else? What else did we talk about this morning? Oh, we did. Yep, we talked about Noah for a little bit and the flood. Good, good, good. What else?
Abraham,
right? And how God is a what?
Promise
keeper. That's right. He keeps his promises. He kept it with Noah. He kept it with Abraham. And what was the big promise that God made to Abraham? What was it? What was it? Raise your hands right here on the end. Yep. Yeah, that's right. That he would have a big family and he would have the promised land. So God kept that promise to Abraham by giving him a son named, does anyone remember?
Isaac.
And Isaac had a son named? Son named?
Noah,
David, nope. Oh, I heard it. Jacob. He had a son named Jacob, and Jacob, now he had a lot of sons, but he had a favorite son. He had a favorite son named
Joseph.
And tonight, we're going to talk about Joseph, because he had a lot of things go wrong. He had some crazy ups and downs, and so we're going to hear his whole story tonight, okay? But before we do that, let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for camp. Lord, thank you that we've just had an awesome, fun day full of games and activities and breakfast, Lord. We are grateful to be here and pray that you would teach us something tonight through your word and through the story of Joseph. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to need a little help with this story. So I'm going to invite my friend who I introduced you guys to, Miss Bree. Everyone give Miss Bree a round of applause. Come up. Okay. And she is going to be our artiste for the night. Okay. We're going to do some drawing. We're good. We're going to try and knock anything over. Let's bring it. Good, good, good. All right. Can everybody see that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, so as I said, Joseph was one of a lot of siblings. He actually had 11 other brothers. So can we get some stick figures to represent Joseph's family here, okay? All right, so she's going to draw Joseph and all of his brothers are there. And they lived in the land of Canaan, okay? Now, like I said, Joseph was their dad's favorite, right? You probably heard that he had the special coat of many colors that was like made just for him. And, well, his brothers didn't, we good? Can we count to 12? Yeah, all right. His brothers didn't really like that Joseph was their dad's favorite. And one day, Joseph, he had a dream. Can we get a little dream cloud? Which one's Joseph? Oh, there's Joseph. Okay, so now we got Joseph and he's dreaming, okay? And in these dreams were piles of wheat. Okay, all right. The piles bow down to his pile, right? So here were all these piles of wheat, and they represented the brothers, and they were bowing down to Joseph. And Joseph was the youngest in his family. He was one of the youngest brothers. And so it wasn't very often that the youngest was most important. And then Joseph had another dream. Can we get another little dream cloud? Yeah, he had two dreams. Very important, okay? And there was the sun and the moon, and there were 11 stars, and they were bowing down to him again, okay? And so Joseph, what did he do? He walked up right to his brothers, and he told them about this dream, and how do you think they felt about that? Yeah, not good. They were really mad. Like, he was already his dad's favorite, and now he was telling them dreams that he was having that, like, even made it more obvious that he was the favorite, and it was not a good idea. The brothers got so mad that one day they saw him walking out to the field, and they decided to throw him in a pit and sell him to traders and to be a slave in Egypt. And they took his special coat that their dad had made for him, and they put animal blood on it and brought it back to their dad and was like, Joseph's dead. Gone. Dead. But was he really dead? No. No. So they are pretty mean to Joseph. They were pretty hard on Joseph and put him in a pretty tough situation. But while Joseph is now in Egypt, and we're going to hear about how God is working in Joseph's life, things were also changing at home for the brothers and in their life. So can we get change? Because there's a lot of things that are about to happen in this story. Okay? So the brothers went and told their father Jacob that Joseph was dead, and dad, he was really sad. He was really upset. You know, there were all these other brothers here, but we know Joseph was his favorite. He was so special to him, and he was 17 when this happened. So he was sold to Egypt, and he lived with a man named Potiphar. Can we all say Potiphar?
Potiphar.
Potiphar. That's kind of a fun name. Say it again. Potiphar? Yeah, see? It's fun, right? And Potiphar was in charge of all the soldiers that protected Pharaoh. Now, does anyone know what a Pharaoh is? What does it mean when I say the word Pharaoh? Right there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like a type of king. So can we get a crown to represent our Pharaoh, okay? So now he's living in Egypt, and he's living with Potiphar, and Potiphar was in charge of these soldiers who protected Pharaoh, okay? And so we got our crown, and Egypt was a super powerful nation in the world of time. So this was a big, big deal that Joseph was working for this guy who helped protect the Pharaoh. This was a big deal. It actually says, and we have a slide to show this. I'm not going to have you look in your Bible. We'll just read it together, okay? It says that even while Joseph was a slave, oh, there's another one. Next. There we go. Even while Joseph was a slave, that God was looking out for him. It says here, Joseph's master saw that the Lord was with him. He saw that the Lord made Joseph successful in everything that he did. So Potiphar was pleased with Joseph, and he made him his attendant. That means he made him, like, super in charge. He had a real important job. And he put Joseph in charge of his house, and he trusted Joseph to take care of every single thing he owned, okay? So God was blessing Joseph. Even though he was in a terrible situation, right? He got sold to Egypt and sent off to be a slave, but God worked some things out for him. He made it a pretty good deal, and now Joseph was in charge of this whole house of a very important man, and Joseph was learning that God is good. But then things took a turn again. And somebody lived in the house with Potiphar, his wife. She accused Joseph of doing some things that were wrong, that were not true. They did not happen. But Potiphar believed his wife, and he threw Joseph in jail. Uh-oh. So now Joseph is in jail. So they were looking up, things were looking up for him for a while, but now he's in jail. But even while Joseph was in jail, God was still looking out for him, and God was still good. The Bible says that the Lord was with him, was with Joseph, that he was kind to him. And so the man who was running the prison, he was really pleased with Joseph, and he put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners, and he made him responsible for everything that happened there. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? He's in charge of everything again, right? So God took him from just being a prisoner to being in charge of all the prisoners. So now, while Joseph's in jail, okay, two of Pharaoh's servants were thrown in jail with him. Can we get two little stick figures? Yep, added in there with Joseph, okay? And they had some dreams they didn't understand. They did not understand what was going on. And Joseph, he told them what their dreams meant. And eventually, one of those servants was able to get out of jail and go back to work for the Pharaoh in his court, okay? So this servant was the cupbearer. So can we have a person holding a cup? Okay, because this person, he made it out. He got, like, get out of jail free card, kind of. It probably wasn't for free, but he did get out, okay? And he went back to work for the cupbearer. And the cupbearer, he made a promise. Does anyone know what promise he made to Joseph? Whoa, what promise did he make? You were very excited.
There was a baker, the baker was the other person.
Uh-huh.
He promised that he would tell Pharaoh that he was worthy to get out of prison, but he forgot.
That's right. So Joseph was actually hoping that this cupbearer would be his get-out-of-jail-free card, right? The cupbearer was like, don't worry, I will tell the Pharaoh about how you figured out our dreams, you were super helpful, you did everything we need. I'll tell him how great you were. Don't you worry. Mm-mm-mm-mm. How long do you think it was? Anyone take a guess? How long did it take for him to remember? What? Good, just say it.
5 years?
What else? 2 years? What else?
7 years.
7 years? What are we thinking? 3, 4, 10, 6, two years, no, I promise, 2 years, okay, those are all great guesses, 2 years, so giant two, because now 2 years have passed, 2 years, and guess what, now, someone else was having some weird dreams. Uh-oh. Yeah. Pharaoh had two bad dreams, and no one in his palace, no one could figure out what they meant. But finally, the cupbearer remembered Joseph and how he helped him with his dreams while he was in prison. And Pharaoh's servants went to that jail and got Joseph, cleaned him up, and took him to the Pharaoh immediately, okay? So Joseph immediately gave God the glory for his ability to understand these dreams, and he told Pharaoh what the dreams meant. And once again, Joseph saw just how good God was. Yes, 2 years had passed. Yes, the cupbearer had forgotten him, but he still eventually was able to get out of prison. He didn't stay there forever. So in the first dream that Pharaoh had, there were seven thin cows, seven small cows, and they ate seven big fat cows. Kind of weird. I wouldn't know what that means. And in the second dream, there were seven thin ears of grain, and they ate seven big ears of grain. Again, kind of weird. Grain eating other grain. Well, Joseph, because God was with him, was able to tell Pharaoh exactly what that meant. Joseph told Pharaoh that this meant that there would be seven good years of food. 7 years where farming is great. You'll have more than you need. You'll have plenty of food. It'll be enough to go around, and then some. It'll be great. And then there will be 7 years of famine. So we got 7 years of good food, but then 7 years of bad food, and it's not going to work out, and you're not going to be able to grow much food. And in fact, if we don't do something about it, there's going to be no food at all. Now, Pharaoh was amazed. So amazed. Get this. You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. I'm telling you. You guys have heard this story before. So, all right. Okay. So he was so amazed that he put Joseph second in command. And Joseph's job, his job from Pharaoh, was to save up food during the first 7 years so that there would be enough food in the last 7 years when it was going to be really hard to grow food. So now 7 years, can we get a seven up there? 7 years have passed. The seven good years, they're done. They're over, okay? And the famine was bad. So bad that Joseph's family, remember, he's still got a family. He's still got all those brothers back in Canaan, back where they sold him. And Joseph's family is running out of food. They are running out of food. And so their father, Jacob, sends all of the brothers, except the youngest one, to go buy food in Egypt because they heard somehow, because of Joseph, they don't know that. Somehow there's still food in Egypt, so they went to get some from Egypt, okay? So, after that, okay, they go, and who do you think they had to buy their food from? Joseph! They had to buy their food from Joseph, right? But Joseph, he was much older now, and they did not recognize him. But Joseph, he knew who they were as soon as they walked in. And the brothers, they came in, and what did they do when they saw Joseph? They bowed down just like Joseph's two dreams. The brothers bowed down because back then, if someone was really important, you bowed down to him. And Joseph, he was a pretty big deal in Egypt, right? Joseph was second in command. So that dream from all those years ago finally came true. Now remember, Joseph knows who they are, right? He's sneaky. He begins questioning them. He's like, are you spies? Do you come here to spy on us in Egypt? What's your plan? Are you really just here for food? What's going on? Why do you need food? I don't understand. What is this? But they said, no, really, we're here to buy food. We have no food left, and our dad sent us. We've got a brother back home, and that's all we're here. We promise. We just want food. So Joseph really wanted to see his other brother, who wasn't there. And so he made a deal with them. And Joseph said, you know what? I still think you're spies. Okay, so I'm going to put you to a little bit of a test, okay? Here's the test. So that I can be sure that you're really who you say you are, okay? So you won't leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here, okay? That's what I want you to do, okay? Look, you guys, this is not going to work out unless you bring your youngest brother to me. So send one of you back. One of you go get him, okay? And the rest of you, you have to be kept here in prison, and I'll see, and then I'll know that you guys are telling the truth. So that's what they did. One of them went home, and they brought back their brother Benjamin, and Joseph kept his word, and he sold them some food. But he was still being kind of sneaky, that Joseph, right? He still had a few tricks up his sleeve. So they had their bags of food, but Joseph had one of his workers slip a fancy cup into the youngest brother's bag. Can we get that fancy cup? Okay, slip that fancy cup into the brother's bag that they had went home to get. And when they're leaving the city with their food over their shoulders, they got stopped by the guards, and they accused them of being thieves. The brothers didn't know there was a fancy cup in their bag, and they were like, no, it's fine. You can search our stuff. We promise we didn't take anything. And the guards are going through the food, and then, there was the fancy cup, and now they looked like thieves, right? So they got taken back to the palace, back to Joseph, where he's accusing, he's like, I thought you guys were good. You brought the brother back. You know, he's still kind of messing with them, still kind of tricking them. But finally, the Bible says that Joseph couldn't hold it together anymore. And so he had all of the other workers leave. So it was just him and his brothers. He cried out, have everyone leave. It was just them. And he cried so loudly that everyone outside of the room could hear them. Everyone in Pharaoh's house heard. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph, and I have a question. Is our father still alive? And the brothers were so shocked that they weren't able to answer, and they were just afraid. They were like, here's this guy that was questioning us, and now he's saying he's our brother that we sold like 20 years ago? What is going on? But Joseph said to his brothers, hey, come here. Come close to me. He said, I am your brother Joseph, and I'm the one you sold into Egypt. Don't be upset, and don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me ahead of you to save many lives. And Joseph explained to them that even though their brothers did something wrong, right? They were mean to him. They were not kind. That God was still able to use it for good. And so he asked his brothers to go back home, gather up all their things, gather all their family, their father, tell them what happened, and they can all come live in Egypt with him because the famine was still going on. There was still no food. And so throughout this story, Joseph found himself in tricky situation after tricky situation, but God worked every single one of them for good, right? God worked it for good, even when his brothers did something wrong, even when Potiphar's wife lied, even when the cupbearer forgot about him. God used these for a bigger purpose. He used, just as Joseph said, to save many lives. And remember the promise we talked about this morning, right? God gave a promise to Abraham that he would have a big family and a great nation and a promised land that would one day lead to Jesus, right? Yeah? Well, if God hadn't sent Joseph to save up all that food so that people would have enough to eat, so they wouldn't starve, so they wouldn't die, the family that Jesus was born into wouldn't have been here. If Joseph hadn't been in Egypt to save all that food, there would be no Jesus. But because of that, Joseph's story can show us the cross, can show us that because their family kept going, because their They didn't starve, and they were able to move to Egypt and continue, just like God had promised to Abraham, that eventually it pointed to the cross. You're good, Bree. Thanks. Okay? Yeah, give Bree a round of applause. She did a great job. Way, way better than I could have done, let me tell you. Wow. I got to have you draw more often, Bree. Okay, so one last thing before we finish tonight, okay? There is a verse in Genesis 50:20. We'll actually put it on the screen. It's one of the very last things in Joseph's story, okay? And he says this to his brothers. He says, "You planned to harm me, but God planned it for good. He planned to do what's being done right now, and he wanted to save many lives." Okay? And this is true for us too. This isn't just something, guys, are you with me? This isn't just something that happened in the Bible to Joseph. And it's not super special and never going to happen again just because it's in the Bible. We can learn from the Bible, but this shows us that this can happen in our lives too. Can I tell you a short story from my life?
Yeah?
Can I do that? Okay. So when I was in high school, when I was 16 years old, I was halfway done with high school. And my parents said, "We're moving." Yeah, I was not happy. Now, we moved all the time. We moved all the time. I was used to it. My dad was in the Army. So we moved a lot. But in the middle of high school, my older brother had just graduated high school. My younger brother, he wasn't in high school yet. And I was so upset. I remember being so mad and wondering, oh my gosh, how is this ever going to work out? I have all my friends. I had all my plans. We are here. We've been living here for the last 4 years. And I love this school and I love where we're at. And now we're just going to get up and move to Illinois. Yeah, okay. I was not happy about this. Okay? Hold on, hold on. Story's not over yet. Story's not over yet. Shh. Because here's something else about me at this time. Okay? Before we moved, we were living in Texas. Before we moved, okay, I did not have a good relationship with Jesus. Like, at all. Okay? My family, we went to church. Yep, I went. I wasn't like mad about it. I went. It was fine. Sit there. Go home. But I never prayed. I never read my Bible. I never told people about Jesus. I didn't know that God had created me. I didn't really know that God loved me and that he had a plan for me. And I really didn't act like I loved God all that much. Okay? But because we moved, we had to find a new church, right? So when we started going to this new church, I made some new friends. I met some new leaders. And those people taught me what it was like to have a real relationship with Jesus. I actually came to Miracle Camp with those friends and with those leaders and learned about Jesus just like you guys are doing right now. And they taught me what it meant to follow Jesus, to love Jesus, to give my life and live for him. And that's the best decision I have ever made with my life. And if we had never moved, I don't know where I'd be right now. I probably wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be with you guys teaching the Big God story. Probably not. I would have still been in Texas. Who knows if I would have ended up finding Jesus and realizing how much he loved me. Moving was one of the hardest things I've ever done. One of the toughest things I've ever done. I was lonely. I was confused. I was mad. But eventually, I started to see what God was doing. And now that it's been quite a few years, it showed me just how good God is because it showed me who he was and how much he loved me, just like he did for Joseph. Joseph's story reminds us today that even when things are really tough, when they're things we don't like, when we're mad, when we're confused, when we don't understand what's going on, that God can use them for good. I'm sure Joseph didn't feel like things were very good along the way when he was sitting in jail, when people were lying about him. I didn't feel good when I had no friends in a new school and I didn't know anyone and I was all by myself. That didn't feel very good. But when we trust God and wait to see what his plan is, we see that he is good every single time. So before we end tonight, let's pray together and thank him for that. Jesus, God, thank you that you always, always, always have a plan. And your plans are always good. God, I pray that if there is a student in here tonight, Lord, a counselor, a camp aide who's having a hard time seeing where your plan is good, Lord, where you are working things out in their life, God, I pray that you would show them your goodness here at camp this week, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your son, and it's in his name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, guys, you are out of here. We will see you tomorrow morning. You can follow the directions of your counselors. All right? What? I do still live in Illinois. Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, it's a couple hours away. I live in Peoria. Yeah. What's up, man? What was your question?
It wasn't really a question, but I know what the Potter's wife lied about.
Oh, what?